Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. I thank you that you're with us. I thank you, Father God, that you're overshadowing us, that your grace and mercy is being bestowed upon us. And Father God, I do truly thank you that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is falling upon your children, even this, as we speak tonight. We thank you for answering our prayers, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for starting to answer every prophetic word that you've given us. I thank you for that, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Tonight I'm going to teach about the sword. We already know that before the end comes, there will be movements that will not stop moving. Right? God is looking for those that he can place his sword into their hands. His sword is his grace. Alright? Question, are you one of those who can carry such a movement? Before this revival, we were not ready to carry the torch very far. But I feel that we are ready to carry the torch to the end. And because we are ready to do that, God is now ready to place a sword in our hands. And the sword is grace, his grace. We must understand that the sword is the sword of the Spirit, and it is a divinely powerful weapon. It is the power of God's redemption. And the one who carries it must be in unity with God's redemptive purposes. Amen. Excuse me, redemptive means serving to redeem, pertaining to or centering on redemption or salvation. You must have a heart to redeem or it will become too heavy for you to carry. You must be able to carry the sword if you are going to carry the torch very far. This sword will not only reflect light, it will emanate light. Excuse me. The sword is not heavy, but it will become heavy if you try to wield it in your own strength. This sword is God's word of redemption. Redemption means the act of redeeming or the condition of having been redeemed. Christianity means it means salvation from sin through Jesus' sacrifice. Now, what you have to get this sword, which is God's grace, all of God's grace, you have to have the same heart that Jesus Christ has, and that is to redeem the lost and the dying. You're supposed to take this sword, which is his grace, and we're going to study more about this, but I'm going to say it right up front. You have to take this sword, which is his grace, and go out there and minister to a lost and dying world. All right? Now, you really, you know, you're saying you want to do these things, but your life has got to be spotless. You have to be walking in holiness. You can't be up and down. You have to be steadfast. This sword cannot be destroyed. It will stand forever. God's grace will always stand. This is a weapon that will be carried by God's prophets in the last days. We need to understand that no power on the earth is stronger than God's redemption. However, if you use it wrongly, it can bring great troubles to the earth. With this sword, those that you bless will be blessed. Are you listening? He also said we must be careful not to try to redeem that which he did not plant, but we must go forth to redeem. In other words, don't try to put God's grace on those who God is not going to redeem. There are people in this earth, whether you want to believe this or not, who will never get saved. The Word of God tells us not everybody's going to go to heaven. Not everybody's going to believe the Word. So if you know somebody that, you know, they're really far out there, way out there, and you've given them everything you have, you've given the Word, you've done everything you know to do, and still they are refusing to follow Jesus, then don't take God's grace to them. The Word of God says don't cast your pearls before the swine. So there are some people that are just not going to want what you're trying to offer them. So don't let that destroy what God is trying to get you to do. All right. When I first started, I tried to get everybody saved, and I just knew I could get everybody saved. And, you know, God said, daughter, if the Holy Spirit can't do it, why do you think you can do it? So please understand, you're not going to get everybody saved. And people can sit in the house of God under the power of God every day of their life and still not receive the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's not your problem. All you were supposed to do is take the word to them. And what they did with that word was entirely up to them. All right? You know, it's our wills that work here. And God doesn't go against our will, so why should we go against somebody's will by trying to force them to do something they don't want to do? Remember, the Spirit moved in the beginning, and the Spirit never stops moving. Because this is a sword of the Spirit, as it is moving, strength is released to the one who bears it. God will keep giving you more strength and more strength and more strength and more strength. You are not going to run out of strength when you go out there to redeem a lost and a dying world with God's grace. It will also quicken your mortal body. Remember that God's word is never still, but it's living, sharp, and active. Remember that life always moves. And God created the universe to ever expand, and his word will be forever moving and expanding. All right? Those who know the life that is in the Father will also forever be expanding in knowledge, wisdom, and power. Those who know the life that is in the Father will always forever be expanding in knowledge, wisdom, and power. They will never stop growing. You will never stop growing, saints. Because you go from glory to glory to glory. About the time you think, wow, I really know a lot, then God's going to drop something else in your spirit. He's going to keep growing you until the day he comes to take you on home. So don't ever think, well, I've attained. No, you have not attained. Just keep growing in God. And just keep letting God give you more wisdom and more knowledge, more revelation. Because I'm going to tell you, the world that you're going to go out there to is messed up. And you're going to have to have this sword, this grace, if you're going to win those to Christ. They're going to argue with you. They're going to say every manner of evil about God. And you're going to have to be steadfast in your walk with God. You're going to have to know who you are in Christ. And you're going to have to stand tall and firm, but in love. God said, as long as we abide in Christ, we will forever be growing in both knowledge and power. God said, I now give you the command to move and grow. In due time, I will give you the command to multiply and conquer, not by taking lives, but by saving them. We've done enough taking lives now, and now God wants us to go out there and bring in the harvest. He wants us to repent of every wrong thing we did in ignorance. And he wants us to take up that sword of grace that he's given, extending to us. And he wants us to go forth to save the lost and the dying. We all know that in our walk with being born again, we've run across many people, including our family members, who we have witnessed to and witnessed to and witnessed to. And they've seen how you used to be and they see how you are today, but they still reject Jesus Christ. That is not your problem. That is not. You move on to somebody else. Shake the dust off your feet, and you still love them. You place them in God's hands, and then you move on to somebody else. God will take care of that person. That's not your job. All right? This sword will strengthen you and give you courage. And together, the sword and the torch will give you clarity of perception that is greater than anything you have yet experienced. I don't know if you understand what God's doing with you guys, but he's building you up line upon line, precept upon precept, and he's getting you ready for this great harvest that he's getting ready to bring into the house of God. And you're going to see many street corners being evangelized. God's going to send you to the street corners with the word, and you're going to save souls on street corners. All right? He just told me that, so I thought I'd tell you that. When God places his sword in your hands, you will begin to feel a deep passion in your heart for this sword. That feeling will be a deep passion for God's word. We will be holding God's living word. See, when you really have the grace of God, that sword that God wants to hand to you, which is His grace, when you really have the grace of God, you will have compassion for the lost and the dying. And you will say, but for the grace of God, there go I. Instead of saying, look what that fool's doing. You know. Come on. Those who have the true love of God's truth will love those for whom He gave it. Listen to what I said. Those who have the true love of God's truth will love those for whom He gave it. Did Jesus Christ come for the church? No, He didn't. He came for the lost. The church is already messed up, so He came for the lost. Amen? The Spirit is going to breathe on the Scriptures once again, and this love for the Word will come upon God's messengers. We're going to love to read the Word once again. We're going to want to devour it once again. With this sword, we will see everything by the Spirit. Hear that? We'll see everything by the Spirit, not just through our own eyes and mind, but through the Spirit of God. We'll see everything through the eyes of God. You know, that should be a constant prayer of yours. God, let me see everything I look at, let me see it through Your eyes. When I look at somebody, let me see them the way You see them, not the way I see them. People can deceive you, right? But if you see, look at them through the eyes of God, they're not going to deceive you because God sees the truth in all things. So that should be your constant prayer. We will feel as one with everything that we look upon. We will also feel great love for everything that you look at. Really, truly, when you're walking in the grace of God, you just love everybody and everything. And you know, even though you know they're on their way to hell, you still have love and compassion for them, and you still cry with them because you know that they didn't have to go that road, but that's the road they chose. All right? You know, just like in here when God calls up here to dance, I watch you people, and some of you stand there like, well, what am I up here for? Well, then go sit down, because you're not up here for nothing. Because your heart's not in it. You've been under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, and you know that God is in control, but yet you still don't want to receive what He has for you. Then you might as well sit down. We're not going to chastise you for that. Because if you don't want to receive the fullness of Christ, that's not our problem. It really isn't. That's God's problem. God said this, that it. I'm sorry, God said, that is the power of My word for those who will receive it into their heart. So let me go back to the paragraph before, Nancy. We will feel as one with everything that we look upon. You know, one with God. We will also feel great love for everything that you look at. God said, that is the power of My word for those who will receive it into their heart. Our quest every day should be to receive God's word into our hearts. How many of you, you know you... How many of you just think about this church and you see people sitting in the church service, you know, kids alike, kids and grown-ups, service after service after service, and they still come in here and just sit there and say, well, I got to be here type attitude. And they're not moved by anything that goes on around about them. Aren't you grieved in your spirit? You know, Jesus Christ died for you. You know, He shed His blood for you. He went through all that torment for you. But yet you come into the house of God and just sit there. I can guarantee you carry on more out in the street than you do in the house of God. What I mean by that is you whoop it up. But you come in the house of God and you're so distressed because you have to sit through a service. I would really be concerned if I would die that second, where I would go to. As we do this, we will begin to see that then we will have understanding. You know, as we walk in God's love, as we walk in His grace, and we start loving everybody and start understanding the Word, then we will begin to see, and then we will have understanding of what God's really calling us forth to do. How many of you can really say that you have more understanding of what God's calling you forth to do today than you did a year ago? You know? And the more you sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I don't care if it's in your bedroom, I don't care if it's in your car, wherever you sit under the anointing, you will get revelation after revelation after revelation. Right? Our minds will continue to open and our knowledge will forever grow. God created the mind of man to ever expand so that we could know Him, His ways, and His works. God created the mind of man to ever expand so that we could know Him, His ways, and His works. God said we must receive His word into our heart first. then it would open our mind. You know, since we've been listening to Katie's tapes, and now I've got somebody else's tapes, and they're talking about the same thing, but they don't talk about a wounded soul. They just talk about, sicknesses in your body and different other things, and that what they say in these tapes are good tapes, that you just go and sit somewhere, and then you just put your hand on your belly, and then you just tell your spirit to go down into your belly, and I mean your mind go down into your belly, and then just ask God, why am I going through this? And they say every time God will tell you why you're going through it, and then what you do is repent of what you've done, and then just like that, God heals you. They said, I listened to it today going up to Seaford, they said that anybody that has allergies is because they don't like themselves. No, they're upset with themselves. Huh? Self-hate. And I was thinking that because I have allergies really bad this year. I haven't had allergies really bad for a long time. And I do have self-hate because I'm heavy. I can't deal with this. So now tonight, when I go home, I'm going to have to go before the Lord, get this thing taken care of. Because God said you shouldn't hate anybody, not even yourself. But, you don't think about hating yourself. You just, you're just disgusted with yourself. But that's self-hate, they said. And allergies always come from self-hate. So, see, we're forever learning. God's expanding us, and we're ever learning. And so we can know how to set ourselves free. Amen? They said on the tape that this man, he was a... He got radically saved. I didn't hear that part. I guess I was thinking about something else. How he got radically saved. So every place he went, they said, come up and give your testimony. So he did. He went up and he gave his testimony. This one time, he was invited to give his testimony. And they gave him a 45-minute slot. He got up on the stage and froze. Couldn't say nothing. And he said, I knew my testimony. I've been giving it all over the place for years. But he froze. So he said, he just ran and walked down off the platform. So the song leader, somebody had to fill in the 45-minute slot. So he went home upset. He said, God, why did this happen? Well, he sat down, got quiet with the Lord. And he said, God, I need to know why this happened. And God said, when you was 9 years old, you wet the bed. And you really hated yourself because you wet the bed. And so he said, you have to forgive yourself. So he forgave himself from that. And from then on, he's never had trouble speaking since. It's just awesome what God is showing us that's causing us. If you want that series of tapes, we have it. We'll give you a copy. We just got it. But if it's just awesome how God's revealing to us why we're doing the things that we're doing. And then he not only reveals it, but he sets us free. All right. Always growing, ever increasing, always growing. Why? Because God has dropped his grace into us. And we received that grace. He's dropped his love into us. We received that love. So now God has given us the tools to get ourselves set free and stay free. But if we didn't have the grace and the love, he wouldn't do that. All right? But tonight now, he wants to give you the sword of grace, which is so powerful. If we only receive it into our mind, God said we must receive his word into our heart first, then it will open our mind. If we only receive it into our mind, it will not live. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. We receive stuff up here, and that's where it stays. It never goes down into our spirit. God's living word must be received into the heart first, and then your mind will open. We need to understand that we need to believe to understand. We have to believe that what Katie teaches is from God and so we understand it. We have to believe what this young man and his wife are telling us is from God. We have to believe that God showed, and I know that God showed it to both of these people. Amen. We should always ask for understanding because when our understanding ceases to grow, we have departed from the path of life. As long as you are on that path, you will grow. Your understanding will also grow. Like Brother Brett shared me the other day that God said to him, I never want you and Nancy to say, I can't believe they did that. He never wants them to say that ever again. How many of us have said that? I can't believe they did that. Well, we're not allowed to do that no more. Amen. Well, God can't believe some things you do either, right? So why are we saying that about somebody else? When God's word is in our heart, we will be able to see his glory as never before. When God's word is in our heart, we will be able to see his glory as never before. We need to understand that true life is only found in Christ. And when we find the true life, we will have true joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why people can't get the joy. They don't have true life. And so they can't. And they, in fact, they look at you when you're laughing, some of you girls, and they said, are they nuts? Look at them acting so foolish. In the house of God, who cares? They have the joy of the Lord. They're being set free. You really don't want me to get started laughing because I can't quit. I'm a mess when I get that state. And don't send me a funny email either. Larry said, are you all right there? I was choking and everything else, laughing over this funny email that somebody sent me. For those who follow Christ, this joy will not only be theirs forever, but it will grow forever. For those who follow Christ, this joy of the Lord will not only be theirs forever, but it will grow, for it will continue to grow. It never becomes stagnant. Remember what I said the other night. The joy of God's presence can sustain you through what is coming upon the earth. God told us we need the joy. If we don't have the joy, we're not going to make it. So, you know, you guys, maybe you need to say when they get to laughing, God, give me the overflow. You know, I need that joy. Amen. We will know God's joy and it will increase in us. God has been telling us about the great darkness that is going to cover the earth, has he not? The body of Christ as a whole has gone through some devastating times. Something happened the other night, and I made this statement to Larry. I said, could the darkness be that much stronger than the glory? Yeah, because the devil looked like he had won the round. God spoke and said, that was a taste of the power that you are facing in your times. In other words, that's how strong the enemy is right now. And he said, if you had not first tasted of my glory, you would not have lived with the attack I had received from the enemy. You see, I have tasted of God's glory before now, and therefore when the enemy was attacking me the way he was, he couldn't take me out. So we need to taste of God's glory. We need to be glory carriers. This is very important that we become glory carriers. Because if not, you're not going to make it. God continued and he said, I have overcome all evil and you will come to know the power of my glory over all evil. But you must know the power of the evil that men on the earth are about to face. In other words, I had to go through that experience, feel that evil, all right, so that I could understand what was going on in the earth. Sometimes, guys, God puts you in a situation that you can't figure out why you're there, but it's to teach you of what's going on in people's lives so that you'll be able to help them and to help them overcome what's going on in their life. Let's read that what God said again. I have overcome all evil, and you will come to know the power of my glory over all evil. But you must know the power of the evil that men on earth are about to face. Now, he said, the power of my, and you will come to know the power of my glory over all evil. In other words, we're going to have the glory so strong in us that we're going to have power over all evil. But first, we have to know what's going on in people's lives so that we can have that. You must learn to walk in my presence in the midst of evil and prevail. This is why God had me go through that terrible, terrible dark spot there with somebody. It's because I had to overcome it. I couldn't, you know, it couldn't take me out. Are you understanding this? And like God said, if I hadn't already tasted of the glory before, that darkness would have taken me out. How many of you are fighting some darkness right now, and you know that if you didn't have some of the glory, that you would have, it would have taken you out. All right? And he said, if you don't abide in me, you will be overcome. Know this, there will be times when the sword will grip your hands instead of you gripping the sword. In other words, God will bring you grace and he'll cover you with that grace. When this happens, strength will return to you. In other words, when that evil overtakes you to the point you think you're not going to make it, God's grace will come to you. And God's grace will strengthen you so you can go forth then and do the works he's called you forth to do. All right? Question, have you ever felt filthy when you look at all the sin in the house of God? Come on. What you are feeling is the burden that the Lord is carrying. Are you listening to this? Why am I so angry at sin? You're feeling what God's feeling. He can't stand that sin nature. What did he do to Jesus on the cross? Turned his back on him, didn't he? Because he couldn't stand all the sin that Jesus was carrying on the cross. And when you get angry, when you're around people that are in, I don't know about you, but I always know when people sin because the minute they get in my presence, I get terribly angry. I say, oh, geez, what have they done now? And watch yourself and see if you don't experience the very same thing. You know, you just, oh, happy as all get out, and somebody will walk in your presence, it makes you super angry. That's because they just committed a sin. They've been into sin. Your spirit man is full of grace, cannot stand that sin. Now, you don't beat the person up. You know, you just pray for them. But I don't know about you, but I get really tired of Christians who continue to dabble in sin. They continue, what God told me is they were trampling over my son's blood. They were saying it wasn't worth it. And that's why God is doing what he's doing in this world today. He told me, he said, my son's blood is crying out for revenge. And I have to come and do what I'm doing because they're trampling over my son's blood. Amen. What, I said, have you ever felt filthy when you look at all the sin in the house of God? What you are feeling is the burden that the Lord is carrying. I felt like I was cut off from the Father, and I asked him, what is going on? You know, with all the darkness, and I felt all that darkness. And he said, you are feeling what my son felt when I turned my back on him when he hung on the cross. Total separation. So some of you are going to go through that. If you haven't already, you're going to go through it because God has to have you feel that. So you can face it. All right? Because I said, God, I've always been a good girl. Why? Why am I in the midst of this filth? He said, you have to understand what's going on in the world if you're going to still be my minister. You cannot close your eyes to the darkness that's in the world. But you know, when you haven't dabbled in sin, and then you're thrust into the midst of the darkest sins there are, that sort of does something to your mind. It blows your mind a little bit. A whole lot, just about to extinction. Because, you know, all right, so you're like a little pampered kid, you know, always been, you know, God always kept you hid from that stuff. He never let you get near that stuff. And now all of a sudden it's full blown right there in your face. And now he's saying, deal with this now. This is going to strengthen you. And you're going to be able to minister to the people that's in these sins, and you'll judge them, you'll minister to them. Are you understanding this? Come on. We are seeing what is now happening on the earth. Just like the glory is growing stronger, the darkness is also growing. Have you been reading some of the things that some of these groups are doing? It's awful. Awful. You would think, you know, I've never thought I'd ever, ever, ever hear that kind of stuff going on. And there it is, right in our face, full-blown darkness. And they're still trying to take God out of everything. Soon the earth itself will not be able to bear the evil of man much longer. The earth itself will rebel against man, this is what God said, and terror will increase as the earth begins to rage and travail. Man is about to know fear such as not been known since the beginning. Guys, this is why we have to be, first of all, the torch carriers. And now this is why God wants us to have the sword, the grace. Because if not, we're going to be in this category and we're not going to make it. Somebody has to be able to lead the people out of darkness. And God is using the remnant that he's had hid away. And he's been growing us up in the different areas that we need to grow up in. And he's going to use us to lead these people out of darkness into light. In order to lead people out of darkness into light, you have to not be partakers of the sin, but know what the sin is and what how it affects people. All right? So he said, man is about to know fear such as is not known since the beginning. We cannot have fear in us. If you have fear, you need to get the fear out of you because you are not to be partakers of fear. If you have fear, you can't help anybody because the enemy will take you out. Those who abide in Christ will likewise rise in faith as it has never been demonstrated on the earth before. God's been telling us, grow up your faith, has he not? Because he knows that in these times we're going to need faith like we've never known it before. And I hope that you're all working on your faith. Use your faith in the smallest things that pertain to your life. And just start there and just let it grow and grow and grow. God said, because of the fear which is now being released, I have reserved the greatest demonstrations of faith for this time. I believe we're going to have such faith. We say that mountain move, it's going to move. I believe we're going to have to go back to have as much faith that whenever we see a blind eyes, we're going to say open, they're going to open. Amen. I really think we're going to have such faith that if we're cornered by, let's say, a mob of terrorists, that God's going to just hide us and we'll walk right through the terrorist group because of our faith. Yeah. Knowing that God's going to can do that for us. If he did it for Corrie Ten Boom's sister, he can do it for us, right? He can hide us. If we can walk right by the law and they won't even see us. I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel that the darkness seems to overcome the glory and beauty that I have seen in the Lord. Do you? I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel that the darkness seems to overcome the glory and beauty that I have seen in the Lord. And God said, the time is approaching when no man can survive what they have released upon themselves, and they would all perish if I did not put an end to it. We brought a lot of things into our own lives that God never meant us to dabble in. And God's gonna save us from that junk. Now that's an awesome God, is it not? He said, I have redeemed the earth and I will redeem it. I have redeemed the earth and I will redeem it. In the greatest darkness, I will release an even greater light. This is what he's trying to get us to do, be lights. Lights that nothing can dim. Bright lights that will dispel all darkness. The greater light is my love for the world and my redemption. See, this is the stuff we have to have in us if we're going to carry this sword that he's talking about tonight. God spoke, you must learn to carry the torch and the sword into the darkness. You must learn to carry my love and my redemption at all times. Jesus carried love and redemption all the time. No matter what they were doing with him, he still carried love and redemption. The body of Christ has got to get out of their self, get into the spirit, and carry love and redemption at all times. When you learn to love the most wretched and most worthless, even those who are in the grips of the deep darkness, then my word of redemption is truly established in your heart. Let's read that again because we have trouble here. When you learn to love the most wretched and most worthless, even those who are in the grips of the deep darkness, then my word of redemption is truly established in your heart. We're going to have to love those who have a stench of evil around about them. We're going to have to love those who have one foot in hell and one foot in the earth. We're going to have to love them in order to pull them up out of the throes of hell. A couple of people got his place in my life, and he said they are on their way to hell, and I want to use you and my love to pull them up out of the throes of hell. So I know that that's what God is doing with us. I can't love them. Yes, you can. It's not your love. There goes your flesh again. It is the love of God that he has bestowed upon you and his grace that he has put in you and his long suffering. And that's what's going to pull these people up right up out of hell. The power of my redemption will then flow through you. Which is God's saving grace. The power of my redemption will then flow through you. You got all of us, which is God's saving grace. How many of you know that if it wasn't for grace, you would be dead today? God should have chopped our heads off a long time ago, right? It is right for us to want to see Jesus face to face, to know the beauty and the life that is in him. It is right for us to want to carry that to the world, but there is another glory which we must know and carry. That is the pain that Jesus bore for us. Do you understand that the reason why you went through a lot, you guys who are torch carriers and sword carriers, the reason why you went through so much pain was because God wanted you to feel what his, I know this because God told me about myself, God, you had to feel the pain that Jesus went through and felt, and you had to be able to endure that pain and come through that pain in order to do the things God's calling you forth to do. Amen. And if you're like me, you cried, God, what are you doing? Why aren't you helping me? He didn't take Jesus off the cross, did he? Jesus had to carry his cross. Guys, we've got to carry our crosses too. We have to carry the pain. I'm quite sure Astrid, many times you wonder why God allowed you in all that pain. He could have any time pulled you up out there, but he didn't. You had to carry that cross. One day you'll understand why. You see, guys, there's a reason for everything that goes on in your life. Everything that goes on in your life. We don't like it. I'm quite sure Jesus didn't like anything he went through. But then me, I said, well, God, he only walked here 33 years. He only went through that 3 years. He said, you just don't worry about what he did. I'm calling you to do this. You know? He's not listening to any of our excuses. He had a different calling, right? I wasn't up there and he didn't ask me to come down here and die on a cross. He didn't ask me to do that. He told me to carry my cross, right? Come on. We need to understand that the world's greatest heroes are those who overcome the greatest enemies. We need to understand that the world's greatest heroes are those who overcome the greatest enemies. The greatest saints are those who overcome the greatest darkness. We are being sent to call those who will serve God in the darkest of times. God is equipping you. And he said, we are being sent to call those who will serve God in the darkest of times. That's why you're being equipped, so you can go and win others to Christ. It's not so you can say, oh, whoopee, glory, glory. That's not what it's all about. Therefore, we must know the depth of God's redemption. You have to know the depth of God's grace for everybody. You know, if he didn't have so much grace, why does he walk down through the corridors of hell every day and weep over the lost souls that didn't have to be lost? We must know in the depths of our heart God's love for those who are in the grip of the greatest evil. I mean, if you were a drug addict, I said, you deserve to die and go to hell. That was my attitude. And I'm being serious with you. If you're an alcoholic, well, you deserve to go to hell. So what did God do? He took me to hell. And he let me see what the drug addicts go through. He let me see what the alcoholics go through. He let me see all that perversion, what happened. And then when he brought me back, I said, I didn't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go down or go through the torment they're going to go through. But see, he had to take me to hell just so I could see it, so then I would change my mind. Are you listening? He didn't take me there once. He took me there 3 times. Because I had an attitude, you know, if you don't want to serve God, fine, then go to hell. That was my attitude, right? Flat, blunt. But God said, that's not the way I feel. So I'm going to show you what's going to happen if they go to hell. And I tell everybody, you really don't want to go to hell. I want to visit heaven. And he said, you don't have to visit heaven. You need to go to hell and see what they're going to go through. Amen. All right, we are being sent to call those who will serve God in the darkest of times. Therefore, we must know the depth of God's redemption. We must know in the depths of our heart God's love for those who are in the grip of the greatest evil. We have to understand God's love. It is because of God's love that you're sitting here today. And because you said, I go to church tonight. No, you know, he could have killed you a long time ago, or he could have let the devil kill you. It's his love for you. That's why you're here. It's his love for you. Somebody told you about the little house, the little church in Wyoming. It's His love for you that He shared that with you. Come on. You must also know that the power of God's redemption is great enough even for them. God's grace is great enough for the worst evil anybody could be in. The sword that is being given to God's messengers in the last days can break any yoke and cut through any chain. God's grace can do anything. God's light is stronger than any darkness. We need to understand that the connection between the word in our heart and our hand is the connection between faith and works. We need to understand that the connection between the word of in our heart and our hand is the connection between faith and works. It takes both to cleanse and restore us. Remember, you must have the sword and the torch. You must live in God's manifest presence. And you must have God's word in your heart, in your hand. You must teach this to God's messengers. No one will make it through the times ahead without both. Every one of you in here, you should feel like the most important person in the world, because God has chosen you all to clean you up and to teach you the deep truths and to send you forth to win the lost and the dying. I was in a Methodist church and I was dying. Then I've been in the Baptist. I've been in about everything that's out there. But yeah, and I died in each one of them. But God wanted to use me, so He brought me into the born again experience. That's why each one of you had a born again experience. He wants to use you. He could have left you dying out there in those churches. But He said, I have a purpose for you. And you're strong enough to do the things I'm calling you for to do. You can carry the torch and the sword, and you won't buckle under the evil that comes around about you. Amen. You must grow in the light faster than the darkness is growing. We must grow in the light faster than the darkness is growing. God's light is stronger, but to remain light, it must be growing. God's light is stronger than the darkness, but to remain light, it must be growing. We must be forever learning the truths of God's word. God's been inviting us to come up hither, to sit at His feet, so He could personally teach us. And if we will listen to what God says and just go sit at His feet, He will supernaturally draw you up hither, and you will sit before Him and He'll teach you one-on-one. This tape I was listening to today, the man said he got radically saved and he wanted to go away to Bible school like everybody else does. It sounded like my story. But God said, no, I want my spirit to teach you. I don't want you to go to Bible school. I want my spirit to teach you. And see, this is what God wants every one of you in here. He wants his spirit to teach you. He doesn't want you to get full of doctrine. He doesn't want that religious spirit in you. I'm just believing for every one of you that keep coming here night after night. I'm believing for God to supernaturally change you overnight in an instant. And you will be, you know, we'll be walking in the supernatural all the time. That we will be the saints that we're supposed to be. Supernaturally endued with power from on high. And we can walk through any evil and it won't take us out. It won't make us want to puke. Amen? Because we'll know that those people are in chains. But God's grace, His sword that He's given you tonight, can break those chains. Amen? So God said, but 2016, what about 2016? 2016 will be a year for more. More power, more glory, more manifestation, more saved, more filled with the Spirit, more healed. 2016 will be a year for more. He's been saying that over and over and over again. Have you believed Him? Has this thing going down into your spirit, man? Or is it still up here in this little cobweb up here? It has to go down in your spirit, man. Let it bypass your head and let it go straight into your spirit, man. If you desire to have God place a sword in your hand, well, I'm not going to say that yet. I want you guys to know something. There are going to be many naysayers come into the house of God. Somebody was here the other night and poked fun at that we did the train thing. I thought, go ahead, keep poking fun, buddy. God's going to poke you a good one because I'm going to tell him to. Don't allow people to stop you from doing what your spirit man is telling you to do. And that is rejoice. Obey the voice of God and do what God's telling you to do. When he said, get up here and dance, you get up here and you dance. He said, put the devil on your head, feet, you put the devil under your feet. You had victory, the other person didn't. And the people stood up here and just stood along the wayside saying, what's going on here? They didn't get any victory. But they got a touch. See, because the overflow that was in you, it was splashing on the walls. They got a touch. And then that touch starts changing. It starts changing the way they think, the way they act, the way they feel. Amen? You know, when you start ministering to people, the most wonderful thing in the world is to watch them where they were and where God takes them to. And you know, where they were is a bad place because they don't want to hear nothing you have to say. They say you're crazy. You know, and they think, I can't believe this junk. But slowly but surely, God pours his grace into them, his long-suffering, his patience, his love, and you see them start blossoming. Next thing you know, they're full-grown flower. Amen. That's what being a minister is all about. Just getting excited about watching the people who come in dead, a stick. And they think they're so alive, you know, but then the Spirit of God starts working, you know, they start seeing that little stick start becoming a green stem, you know, then it starts getting leaves and, you know, then a bud and, you know, next thing you know, boy, they're just all over the place. Amen. Come on. We've come too far to turn back now. So now I'm going to give you this little thing. If you desire to have God place a sword in your hand, remember that's grace. And if you want this sword tonight, his grace, you have to have the same mind about redemption that he has. And that same mind is that every soul needs to be ministered to, no matter how dark they are. Amen?